You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. A bit of a change around in the studio this week because Mike Grenham is away on business and Dave Tindall is taking a holiday. But luckily we still have Dave Keller in the studio, who's joining me, Mark Walton, to look ahead to this week's golf action. How are you, Dave?
I'm good. A liberal use of the word lucky there as well, or luckily, because the form hasn't been exceptional this season, Mark. I know as an enthusiastic listener to the golf podcast, you'll know that I've not been in quite the form as in years gone by. It's been quite tough this season so far from a personal perspective. And last week I had one selection, that was Wai Yang in Hong Kong, and he missed out on a place by a shot, 80-1. These things can weigh upon a man's mind, Mr. Walton. So it's been a little bit difficult.
I've heard murmurings of references to your previous horse racing preview and people mentioning the word regressive connected to you, Dave.
Yeah, I think that's quite accurate, actually, Mark. Thank you for bringing that up. I feel like I'm let loose on the lead this week, though, because I can have a few more selections, because usually we've got Dave and Mike with us and we don't want to be putting up 9-10 selections in each event. So I've got two picks in the Turkish Airlines Open and three in the CIMB Classic. So I'm hopeful this week. I think I'm on the right horses to continue this ridiculous analogy. I think we'll have some success this week. I'm pretty optimistic.
This is where you're going wrong, Dave. You're mixing your golfers up with horses.
I knew there was something going terribly wrong this season, and that's what it is.
Yeah. Do you want to have a quick look back at last week, Dave? Yep. You got a few things to mention from there?
Yeah, just a couple of things to mention. Justin Rose, he was exceptional last week in that aforementioned Hong Kong event. He beat Lucas Gerrigard, and that was a professional performance from Justin Rose, really good performance. And Smiley Kaufman came from a mile back to win the Shriners. He shot a 61 on the Sunday. An impressive young player, without a doubt. Earned his PGA Tour card by finishing sixth on the web.com tour last season. He becomes the second rookie to win in the first two events of the new season. That's just the second time it's happened since 1960. I think the landscape in golf is changing slightly, and these web.com players, they're producing numbers on their tour that they can easily replicate now on the PGA Tour. It's something to bear in mind from a betting perspective, maybe at the start of next year or as this season progresses, because we're in the PGA Tour season's infancy right now, that some of the web.com tour graduates are... they're ready to make that step up onto the PGA Tour quickly. We've seen it with Emiliano Grillo. Admittedly, he'd been playing in European Tour events. But Smiley Kaufman, a new name on the tour now, and he's shown that the transition from the lower-graded American Tour to the PGA Tour can be made seamlessly if the player is good enough, and Kaufman clearly is. Obviously, a different type of pressure for Kaufman late on there, because I think even with that 61, he would have expected a player to get to 16 under, even maybe better his total. So it's a different kind of pressure, because he'll have been out there playing and just trying to make birdie after birdie after birdie. Whereas if you're in the heat of battle, you can sometimes get a bit tense. I don't think that was the case with Kaufman last week.
All right. Interesting stuff. Shall we move on to this week?
Yeah, let's get stuck in.
Right, we'll start with the Turkish Airlines Open then. Coincidentally, it's in Turkey. Who would have thought it? But before we get stuck into it, Dave, we'll just have a little bit of a chat about the tournament and the course itself. And it's quite a young tournament, this, isn't it? Is it only 3 years it's been going?
Yeah, just 2 years before this one, so third year on the tour. And in 2013, Victor Dubuisson won with a total of minus 24. Brooks Koepka shot 17 under here last year. So obviously a golf course where you've got to make birdies. And it is, as you mentioned, a young golf course, so, and a young tournament. So it's difficult to get an exact handle on the attributes needed to succeed here. It's a Colin Montgomery design, this one, Max Royal. It's a 7,133-yard par 72 with the five par fives, which is strange. Not a traditional setup with five par fives and five par threes. Hitting greens in regulation, I think, is crucial here, Mark. But intriguing tournament this week.
Yeah, I was just reading through some of the features of the course, if you like, and it's got a lot of hazards in there, or potential hazards. Sandy ridges, undulating fairways, water hazards, many bunkers, apparently. It sounds like quite a tricky course to play.
Yeah,
so greens in regulation is going to be key, like you say.
Definitely. DT does wonderful work with Roto World Golf, and those are some of the things that he's mentioned. And I think greens in regulation key. Obviously, you've had a couple of bombers win back-to-back in Victor Dubuisson and Brooks Koepka, both players with length off the tee. If you were taking a literal view to those 2 years, you'd look at Dubuisson and Koepka, both very talented young players winning for the first time on the European Tour. I'm not sure there's a player, in my opinion, that fits the same mould as Dubuisson and Koepka the last 2 years, or not one that leaps out from the page from a personal perspective. But I think you're going to have to make plenty of birdies here, so I'll be looking at par breakers as a stat of note, and I think greens in regulation key. I mean, when Koepka won, he was fifth in GIR, and Dubuisson was fifth in greens in regulation as well. Both those guys ranked in the top 15 in driving distance. I think you can get away with it off the tee, both slightly inaccurate in their winning years. So there's a little bit of space out there in this Turkish Airlines Open. And I think, given Colin Montgomery is the course designer, his play in his European Tour career, synonymous with ball striking and keeping the ball in play, hitting many fairways and greens, and I think he's set this up with that in mind, to be honest. So I'm actually looking at the top end of the market this week.
Okay, well, you mentioned that Dubuisson and Koepka have won it in recent years, but the top end of the market would usually be somewhere there or thereabouts. The likes of Tiger Woods, Lee Westwood, Henrik Stenson, Ian Poulter and Justin Rose have all been in contention going into the final rounds, the tournaments, two outings so far, if you like.
I think that will continue. I'm actually going with Rory McIlroy as my number one pick here.
Okay, well, I'll spin through the betting to start with. You can tell us why you're with the market leader, Rory McIlroy, who's 9-2. 16-1 for Matthew Fitzpatrick. Shane Lowry is also 16s. 20s for Andy Sullivan. Bern Wiesberger is 20-1. 22-1 for Chris Wood. 25s for Carl Schwartzel and Danny Willett. Ian Poulter, another 25s and 33-1 are bigger prices for the others. 9-2 for Rory McIlroy. You've made him your primary selection.
Yes.
Tell us why, Dave.
Yeah, I'm actually having a big bet on McIlroy this week. Those that listen to the podcast on a regular basis will know I tend to navigate away from the top end of the market. But I'm going to go 5 points win Rory McIlroy this week at a 9-2. There are slight doubts about his form, given his slightly lackluster display in the Fries.com Open recently. But ever since the injury setback forced him to miss the Open Championship, he's been working his way back into top form. Didn't want to play in the Fries.com Championship. It was an obligation for him. So I almost disregard that week's action. Once he was out of contention, I think he was working on his game ready for this final series on the European Tour. And he's still, in my opinion, the most talented player in world golf. And the way I look at this is, we've got a field here without Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I think he's a very, very good price at 9-2. I'd have had him in there at 3-1 this week. Indeed, even though the world rankings aren't a perfect science and many people find world rankings a divisive issue, you look at the world rankings, you've got to go down to 17th for the next player that's in this field in that list. Mm. That's Shane Lowry, who's ranked 17th in the world. It's not a course that McIlroy's seen before, but I think it's one that he should absolutely relish. He drives the ball so strongly, McIlroy, that he can really cut this course down to size. And given, as mentioned, it was a course designed by Montgomery, it plays into McIlroy's strengths because it supports good driving of the golf ball, excellent tee to green play. Greens in regulation has been an important statistic. One of the best in the world, obviously, McIlroy, at hitting fairways and greens. And given that scoring's been so strong, the par breaker stat is one that I looked at. McIlroy, not as strong in that stat as he has been in previous years, but still ranked sixth in the list last year, number one in 2014 in par breakers. He's also ranked, even though his season was truncated with that injury, He ranked number two in strokes gained tee to green last year. And I think he'll eat these par fives up. I think he'll love it here. Five par fives on the menu for McIlroy. The only reservation I have, and that's a reservation that's shared by many people out there, is he's not been putting incredibly well recently. Putting, as we always mention, one of the most difficult stats to predict week to week. If he's even average with the putter, I think he'll win. I thought it was close to his best at the BMW Championship in Illinois and the Tour Championship in Georgia. I expect him to win this week, extend that lead into the in the race to Dubai. I think he's a good bet, 9-2. I had him in there 3-1, 7-2 this week, Mark.
Mm. I mean, you've gone 5-point win on him, but at that kind of price, people could go hefty each way, couldn't they? Because at 9-2, a quarter of the odds, first five, you'd expect to be somewhere near there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you could. You could. I always think with McIlroy, even though recently this it's tended to be feast or famine. Right. Had those two wins early on in the season in the match play in Quail Hollow, but there's been weeks when he's not contended. It's just a personal preference of mine. If there's a player 16-1 or shorter, I'd usually play win only, in all honesty. I know we have got a smaller field than on a regular tour event here. We are betting a quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 as well. So you could easily play each way, but I won't. I'll be playing win only on McIlroy. I think he gets the job done this week.
All right, confident selection then by the sounds of it for Rory McIlroy. You've got a second selection there, so a backup plan, if you will.
Yeah, but it is a bit of a backup plan, actually. I just couldn't resist a bet on Thomas Peters in this event. 33-1 he is. Belgian player, Mr. Walton, and the horse, it might have bolted with Peters. I will stop this eventually, listeners, I promise. But I missed his back-to-back wins in the Czech Masters and the KLM Open from a punting perspective. That was a couple of months ago now, and there was a subsequent lull, which you'd expect. He made his breakthrough there, winning those back-to-back European Tour events. I would have expected a little bit of letdown, and we saw it as well. But a couple of weeks ago, he bounced back with a sixth-place finish in a low-scoring event, the Portugal Masters. He's a player with an immense amount of talent, Thomas Peters. It's pretty simplistic in terms of the reasoning, but you've had two winners here in Brooks Koepka and Victor Dubuisson, incredibly talented young players that bomb the ball, hit the ball a long way off the tee. Peters fits that mould exactly, really. Mm. But I was comparing his price to those around him in the betting, and I thought it was value. For instance, Chris Wood is 22-1 in this field. I don't think there's any comparison, either in terms of talent or in terms of likelihood of winning the event. Chris Wood is playing superbly at the moment, but he's only got a couple of wins to his name in his career, whereas Peters is, in my opinion, more talented and has two wins in the space of as many months. The course sets up well for Peters, even though he's not played at the venue. I think he's a good bet at 33-1. So I'll play the 5 points win, Rory McIlroy, 1 point each way, Thomas Peters at 33-1, and hopefully one of them cops this week. And if Peters places and McIlroy bombs out, yeah, at least you get your cash state back.
Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah, which is nice.
Chris Wood should be concentrating on his football anyway. He's got to score goals for Leeds United.
Absolutely.
Put the goal
club
down.
They need something, don't they? They need something.
Right, so Rory McIlroy, strong selection. Thomas Peters each way for DK. In that one, I know sometimes in the golf podcast, or probably every week that I've listened, there's
you don't have to lie to me. I've got no ego here.
You mentioned players you don't want to win.
Yeah.
Is that the case here? Have you got some you wouldn't like to see winning?
I've got a few that I'll mention quickly towards the head of the betting. Matthew Fitzpatrick is in their second favourite alongside Shane Lowry. Fitzpatrick has 8 top 10 finishes this season already. Got 4 of them in his last 6 starts and one at Woburn recently. So he's got to be worth a mention, Matthew Fitzpatrick at 16-1. I don't see this setup suiting him ideally anyway. Right. A player with an immense amount of talent for a youngster, but I think he'll prefer shorter tests. If it does rain as well, that will inconvenience him because the course will play even longer. No rain forecast at this moment in time, but something to bear in mind. Shane Lowry, I thought he was a little bit short in the betting at 16-1. Not played that well here. Did start well in this event last year, but tailed off. Not convinced this is the course for him. Danny Willett, slightly out of form. He's in the betting at at 25-1. Course looks a good fit, but everything else has to be taken on trust. The other name that came closest for me as a genuine pick this week is Andy Sullivan, but 20-1, in my opinion, just a little bit short in terms of price, but he's stepped up considerably on the form that he's shown in previous years this season. It's tough to see a negative with Sullivan. Won a couple of weeks ago in Portugal by 9 shots, played incredibly well. That was his third win of the season and finished fourth here last year. Only the price puts me off Sullivan at 20-1. He'd be third in for me this week.
Okay. Let's move on to the other tournament and the PGA Tour event. This is the CIMB Classic. It's interesting because it's in Kuala Lumpur, so yep, it'll be completely different conditions for a lot of these PGA pros. It's only 6,985 yards as well, par 72, and but from what I've read, it's a tricky par 72 at this short distance.
Yeah, it is quite technical. I think it's a technical golf course, this one. You brought up the conditions as well. I think that's key because we might have thunderstorms this week. We usually do in Kuala Lumpur, which means that you've got to be, as a player, slightly patient out there. I don't think it inconveniences them too much, but it's something to bear in mind. And the humidity as well. They'll have to take on lots of water. So if you've not encountered conditions before, it can be tough. If you've played in hot, humid conditions in previous events, be it in Kuala Lumpur, be it in the Far East, or be it in some of the events in the States, it gives you a slight benefit here. It's not something that I have heavily on my mind when I'm thinking about selections, but it is worth bearing in mind. And it is quite well attended, this event. And Kuala Lumpur Golf and Country Club has hosted, or does host, an event on the European Tour as well, and the LPGA Tour. This is a really nice venue to play golf for the players, even though that the tournament in terms of condition isn't conducive to golf really. This is a good setup for the players this week, and I think a lot of them like the golf course, and that's why they tend to come and support the event, albeit there's a lot of money on offer as well, which is an influence.
Yeah. You mentioned in there, it was interesting that you were saying it's something you considered but it didn't weigh too heavily on your mind. I thought this would be a course where course form and conditions are something that you really focus on.
Yeah, I focus more on the dynamics of the golf course and what, from a technical standpoint, who it suits in terms of length and weather, accuracy off the tee is a factor, greens in regulation is a factor, rather than weather conditions, in all honesty. So I've looked at this as you mentioned already, it's a par 72 but measures under 7,000 yards. Par 5s are difficult here, though, which is worth mentioning. Tough par 5s around this venue. And I've got 3 players that I think, in terms of the demands of the course, fit very well. Tee to green play, incredibly important here. Accuracy off the tee, I think, is key as well. And one thing that is worth mentioning here is when Anibal Lahiri won here back in February, he ranked in the top 20 for driving distance, driving accuracy. He was 6 in greens in regulation and putted well. So it's kind of an all-rounders venue, this one. Par 5s, as mentioned, are tough. And I think it was Lahiri's all-round abilities and his 62 in the third round that acted as a catalyst, really, for his success that week. So I've got 3 picks.
We'll move on to those in just a moment. Then I'll spin you through the betting, or the top few in the betting anyway. 7-1 for Henrik Stenson. Hideki Matsuyama is 14-1 with Kevin Na. Sergio Garcia is 16-1. 18-1 for Brandon Grace. Ryan Moore is another 18-1. 20s for Patrick Reed. Justin Thomas, 22-1. It's 25s for Adam Scott, Anirban Lahiri, and Luke Donald, and Paul Casey, another at 25s. And 28s or bigger for the others. First selection then, David.
You got into you sort of jumped into where I go wrong there. I start reading them, then there's a whole host of them at 25-1 yeah, and you never stop. You never stop. My first selection is Danny Lee here at 28-1. I'll play my point each way. I've actually backed Danny Lee for the PGA Tour money list, so I'm hopeful that he's going to get a jump on the field this week. He's a player with an immensely progressive profile, Danny Lee. He played in the President's Cup recently, and even though it didn't work out like he would have liked that week, he won one and lost two in the end. I think it will have been... it's all a learning experience for Lee at the moment. And Prior to that, he'd finished runner-up at Eastlake in the season-ending Tour Championship, which was a fantastic result. That marked a return to form for Danny Lee, really. He had been in a little bit of a lull. He had an incredible run of form in July and August, which began with a win in the Greenbrier, a number of other top finishers as well. And he's played the course. We mentioned course form. He's played the course three times, Danny Lee, and his finishes here have improved with every appearance. Missed the cut on his debut in 2010, finished 17th in the Malaysian Open on the European Tour at this venue in 2011, and last year played in the CIMB Classic, and he finished 13th. A course that sets up beautifully for Danny Lee. Accuracy from the tee is his greatest strength. He also puts superbly well when he's on, Danny Lee. I can see him featuring this week strongly, and 28-1 is a pretty confident selection.
How many points you going that then?
Point each way.
Point each way.
Yep.
Selection number two.
Again, point each way. Kevin Kisner is my second selection here at 50-1. He's my cliff golfer. He's my cliff golfer. He really is. But I can't resist having a few quid on him at 50s again this week. Tipped him in the Tour Championship. We've already mentioned the Tour Championship. He was abysmal. Absolutely abysmal. He finished second last, 28th I think he finished in the end, but he did show a little bit of sparkle last week with a 25th place finish in his season opener at the Shriners. He played better than the finishing position implied though last week. He was pretty solid in the all around. Unfortunately, that was a low scoring event and the putter was a little bit cold for Kisner, and he didn't hole enough puts to get in contention there. He'll have to go quite low this week as well, though. It's a different dynamic, though, I think, because there won't be as many rounds in the low 60s as there were last week in the event at Summerlin. This is more of a ball-striking test than last week's event was, and it should suit Kisner because he's undoubtedly at his best on tracks like this, at venues like this. He's actually a player in a similar mould to Lee in many ways, in my opinion. His best results have come on courses where accuracy is a key area, like I believe it is this week. And the breakthrough is going to come. It's just a matter of when with Kisner. Went close on numerous occasions on tour last year. And at 50-1, definitely willing to give him a go this week. 50-1 for Kevin Kisner. Second pick.
So a couple of big price ones so far, Dave. Is the third one more towards the top of the market, or is it another big juicy one?
Yeah, it's a big juicy price here. Again, I'm going 50-1, but sorry, 66-1 I'm going here. He's pushed him out, which is a rarity. 66-1, he was 50s when I looked, so this is... I might have to change the staking plan here. I think I'll still stick with a half a point each way, though. John Sendon is my third and final selection at 66-1. It's a good price, I think. He signalled that he's in good order with a 16th place finish at the Shriners last week, included rounds of 65 and 67. And his form in Malaysia is what catches my eye, in all honesty. Good 7th in the CIMB Classic last year, this event last year. And he's got very good form in Malaysia in other tournaments as well. Three other top 30s. Finished 7th in the Asia Pacific Classic back in 2011. So Sendon's a player that it's always a struggle to catch him correctly, but I'm hoping this week is going to be his week, and I'll just play him half a point each way. I'm more confident with Kisner and Lee, but 66-1's a nice price.
It is. It's worth having a little go at. You've shied away from the top end of the market there, yeah. Dave. Any up there that you'd be most worried about?
I think Stenson's a reasonable price at 7-1, but only a reasonable price. No one was in better form than him in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Had three runner-up finishes and a tied 10th in the FedEx Cup series at the end of the last PGA Tour season. He's only had one start in Malaysia, which is slightly off-putting. That was back in 2011. I think it is significant that he decides to play in Malaysia rather than playing in Turkey, though. That could be a key indicator to his chance this week. Just struggled to get his neck over the line recently, and he's been in the heat of battle in a lot of events as well. It might have taken the edge off him, and that's a concern at 7-1, enough to put me off anyway. Others at the top end of the market, Kevin Na at 14-1 looks short enough. I think it's way too short, in all honesty, for a player that doesn't win enough. Again, he's had two Incredible events in the PGA Tour already this season, having finished runner-up behind Emiliano Grillo, getting beaten in the playoff in the fries.com, then finished in a hull with a whole heap of them in second place behind Smiley Kaufman last week. And he finished second here last year. So Kevin Na, an obvious one, but it's factored into the price at 14-1. I'll be interested to see how Brandon Grace performs this week as well, because he was absolutely sensational in the President's Cup. Went 5-0 in the President's Cup. And that can act as a catalyst. If you have a leading performance, he was the leader on that team in a strong President's Cup team for the internationals. And he had them all on his back, really. And he was carrying that team. He just tends to save his best for bigger events. It's my concern with Grace. And this course, not a fit for him either. So that put me off at 18-1, but I wouldn't be surprised if he played well this week.
All right. Anything else to add into there, Dave, before we go?
Not really, Mr. Walton. I think those are the guys that I looked at, considered closely this week. Harris English, another one that was worthy of mention at 33-1. He's playing good golf at the moment, but happy with my three selections in that event and the couple in Turkey. And I do think McIlroy's he's a confident selection for me this week.
Okay. I'm sure the listeners already know this, but if they want to get in touch with you, Dave?
Yeah, you can follow myself on Twitter, at D Kellner, and
at Mark Walton 88.
You don't do much tweeting, do you?
It's probably pointless given that I don't know anything about golf either.
It's not shown, Mark. Thank you. It's not shown.
Yes, I wouldn't profess to be an expert anyway.
No. Well, Mike and Dave should both be back in the studio next week. Remember, you can follow those two chaps on Twitter as well, at M Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf. Thanks for your company, Mark. It's been good.
I've enjoyed it. It's been a pleasure. So thank you very much, Dave. Good luck and enjoy this week's golf.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.